Greetings, I'm Bill Klatke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Keith Murky, Education and Outreach Associate with the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights, and this is the second of the two shows we're doing with Keith. Today's focus is discrimination in healthcare, which is something that we all, since we're dealing with healthcare much more nowadays, should listen to, as well as some changes in the law. So, Keith, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for coming back again. First of all, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, who did not catch the last show, please tell us about the commission.
The Maryland Commission on Civil Rights is the state commission that enforces several of our statutes, which include the discrimination and harassment. So that's Title 20, basic discrimination and harassment in employment, housing, public accommodations, state contracts, what we call commercial non-discrimination, and now healthcare provisions. So we are the investigative, so we enforce the law as well as investigate complaints, but we also do free training and education for groups and agencies, companies, faith communities throughout the state of Maryland. We just want to make sure that the state is free from all illegal discrimination.
Could you give us some contact information, please?
Sure. You can contact the office. The phone number, two phone numbers, one is local and one can be, if you're out of the area, 410-767-8600. The toll-free is 1-800-637-6247. And you can always check out our website, which is mccr.maryland.gov. And then you can actually contact us through that website as well.
Yeah, that's a good one. What's your position and work with the commission?
I am the Education Outreach Associate, so I've been there for 20 years. I do training, educational programs, do outreach events, participate in that way with the commission.
Uh-huh. And so 20 years, you know where all the bones are buried and where
yeah, what things. Yeah, I also can tell you about how things have changed and what's different and what's, you know, what I've seen over the years, so.
And it at least in terms of the laws, it has gotten better.
Right. Our laws have changed and have updated. And, I mean, since I've been there, we've added several protected classes. We've changed definitions and all of that. And we have, you know, we're striving in different ways. And it used to be just about, not really about education. It was always about, like, let's just do investigation and stuff. And now they're realizing that, because we have a lot of cases that may be non-cause for that may not be true harassment or true discrimination, there's always a problem behind it. There's always a problem.
Yeah.
And so that means education is a part of it, too. So getting people to have conversations, difficult conversations, to be dealing with some stuff. So that's where education comes into play, letting you know what the law is and what it's not. How do we interact with one another? And I think those are real important that we forget that it's, people don't just come out of the gate knowing laws and knowing what protects them in the state, federal, local arenas. You have to find that out. And sometimes we're never told unless we look for it.
That's right. That's right. And going to your website is a great way to do it.
Yes.
And we certainly, I know from having worked with you these many years that, you especially want to underline the real importance of people complaining.
Right.
Of people filing a complaint, of people, you know, not just taking discrimination, but doing something about it.
Right. And it is we understand it can be difficult, that it could be, there's fears associated and fear of retaliation, fear of all those things. But it takes people stepping up and being brave and filing complaints, because if not, we would not know about them. It would look like we're living in a society where everybody is wonderful and kind to each other and treats each other equally, and we know that's not true.
Yeah.
So it does take that. So we do want to encourage people, or even if you call us and say, this is what's happening, and we can at least assess it and say, well, maybe that seems like it's unfair, but that's not illegal. There are a lot of things that are not illegal, but it may be unfair or not right or unethical, but it's not necessarily illegal. And we have to, and our intake off unit, you know, assesses that.
Yeah, and I know that when you can't handle something, if it's if it's best handled by a housing counselor or some other folks. I know you provide a lot of referrals and resources for folks.
Right, and sometimes people come to us and our law doesn't cover what's happening to them, but maybe a local law does. So we tell them we refer them to the local, like human relations commissions or county laws.
Right.
Or if the federalist has broader reach than we do, we refer them federally. But, we try to work with people, to make sure that there are referrals. If not, and sometimes it may be housing counselors, it might be an agency that does stuff we don't do. You know, for example, we don't necessarily do a neighborhood disputes, so that would be a different than, you know, so there are things that our hands are tied by law, what we do, and some things that we may assist with or we might participate with other groups in doing, but we can't, but also our plate is full with things that we're doing by the law.
Let's talk about that, the Crown Act and the new law that has come in.
Sure. So this is like went into effect as of October, is that the legislator added a definition to our protected class of race, and it deals with hair texture and texture. So they included that race includes traits associated with race, like including hair texture, Afro hairstyles, and protective hairstyles. And then, of course, protective hairstyles are things like braids, twists, locks. So those were all added in law, so it's written in there that this is a part of our definition of race is actually how people wear their hair and the texture of the hair. Because we were having complaints of people that were touching, like, African-American women's hair because it was different and, you know, that kind of stuff, or being told you can't wear that kind of style of hair. So that's one of the new things. So that's the Crown Act. It's called the Crown Act. And along with that is that we're actually having a special training. It was actually a presentation and a discussion on February 22nd from 12 to 2. It's called the Crown Act. You can go to Eventbrite and sign up. It's a free event. So if you want to participate, just go to the Eventbrite website, put in, I would say, the Crown Act, Maryland, and I'm just in Maryland, they'll take you to that, or just look it up in the area. And it's free, you just need to sign up, and then we will send out later via your email, the Eventbrite connection so that you can register and come in. So you'll register with Eventbrite, but then we will send you the link that you need to join us on that Monday. It's like 12 to 2.
Let's talk about discrimination in healthcare.
Sure.
As I mentioned in the lead-in, we are all in this pandemic feeling much more aware of healthcare than we have been. And a lot of folks, of course, hopefully everybody is going to get the vaccine later, emphasize later.
Yeah.
What is legal and illegal in that area?
Well, I mean, the new statute that's been added, and now we have co-jurisdiction with the health department when it comes to discrimination in the provision of services. So the way that's done, it's called the General Health Services Act, Healthcare Providers Discrimination and Provision of Services. The policy of the state is to provide affordable health care throughout the state to all, regardless of race, color, religion, age, sex, national origin, marital status, sexual orientation, gender identity, and disability, and prohibit discrimination with respect to those by any person in order to protect and ensure the peace, health, and safety, prosperity, and general welfare of people. So not only does it, we want to make sure that we're providing affordable health care based on all of those protected classes, so people can't be not denied affordable health care because of any one of those things. So notice even things like marital status, age. So when people go like, well, we're not going to be able to, you're already old with pre-existing conditions or whatever, you know, like if you're basing it on age, you can't do that. And then discrimination on the provision of health care as well, not only the affordable health care, but just prohibit discrimination at all in respect to that, because we know that in Maryland, we need to assure and protect the health and welfare of all persons who live here. And so, the way it is, we're a co-jurisdiction with the health department, so we will work with the health department, with the Secretary of Health, as well as a unit of any of those when it deals with alleged discrimination on all of our protected classes. One of the things is that the original health department's original kind of anti-discrimination code within the health department only had like three protections. They had like race, ethnicity, and I think maybe color. But when we're a co-jurisdiction now, all of our protected classes come in. So you cannot discriminate based on any of those other protected classes like sexual orientation, gender identity, disability, religion, all of those. And there were cases, not necessarily in Maryland, but other states where people were, you know, doctors would refuse service, hospitals would refuse service. Now you can't do that. And so, what we can do now is that we can refer complaints, to the health department. If someone comes to us and say, this is what's happened at a hospital or whatever, we would then refer it to the health department for them to look at, because we want them to go through that process. We will appear as a party in a hearing when if it's discriminatory practices, and we can make recommendations. So we can actually even represent a complainant in a proceeding.
That's great.
Usually we don't. I mean, that's usually we are representing the state. But if the complainant, you know, because it's two state agencies, we can represent them if there need to be.
Keith, could you give us some examples about what would be illegal when someone, say, goes in for a vaccine?
Well, I mean, if not just necessarily a vaccine, but any service. So if you go in and you are even perceived as Muslim, for example, and you're treated differently at the doctor, if you're treated in services at the hospital. I remember a time when I was first here, there was an issue at one of the local hospitals, gay couple and a young man, one of the couple was dying, and the hospital refused to let his partner in the room, even when he was the medical power of attorney and considered next of kin. They weren't married at that time, it wasn't legal, but he was a partner, domestic partner, and he had all the papers and they would not let him see, and he died alone. That kind of stuff is illegal when you're treated differently because of sexual orientation. If there is a really big issue in dealing with the vaccinations, one is not always, one is access, like do you know about it? Where do you hear that information? Is it, you know, do you understand it if it's in another, you know, if someone's of a different language base? How do you find the information? How do you deal with the fears of a group about getting a vaccination? For example, African Americans. The government has not always been forthcoming when it talks about vaccinating people.
Right.
So that's a real key, is like, you know, when you know African Americans have been the victims of, you know, mass sterilizations, as well as dealing with, for example, syphilis studies and things like that. Of course, they're afraid to participate in that, or some, you know, and just trying to get the information to one, senior adults who don't get the information. For example, if they are not tech savvy, so they're not online, how do you find out? How do you contact them? So those are some of the real big issues, with vaccinations we're seeing. But yes, it's if someone's denied or someone is ignored on requests, that's some of the things that we need to hear about.
Yeah, and the best thing for folks to do out there that have questions about these things, about whether the law applies to them or whether whether what happened was discrimination, is to contact you, right?
Yeah, just give a call to our main line and talk to someone in our intake. And I would say go for the intake unit, because they're our frontline people, and they would do that. Our law doesn't prohibit like a licensed person or anything like that from refusing service if the person they're refusing service to is failing to conform to like regular requirements or standards. So if someone says, you're going to have to leave, you will not be wearing a mask. If you're required to have a mask when you enter into something, like a doctor's office or a medical facility, and you refuse to do that, they can turn you away, because it's a refusal for a standard that's protective for other people.
Right.
Because the refusal is not because of any one of the protected classes, it's because of a healthcare standard.
That's important. Unfortunately, though, We are out of time, Keith. Unfortunately, though, that's all we have time for today in Living in Baltimore. Keith, could you give us that contact information one more time, please?
Sure. You can go to our website at mccr.maryland.gov, or you can call us at 410-767-8600, or you can call us with our toll-free number, 1-800-637-6247.
For Living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank our guest today, Keith Murky, who's an education and outreach associate with the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights, for being our guest. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you very much.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
I will try.
And for Living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.